This is news from Radio EcoShock. In his July 15th column for the New York Times, award-winning writer Thomas Friedman wondered if rooting for General Motors to go bankrupt was unpatriotic. His main beef, vehicles like the Hummer II take Americans in the wrong direction into an oil dream that is totally unrealistic in the current market. The column was titled, As Toyota Goes. Friedman says gas guzzlers are setting up U.S. carmakers for a big economic fall as companies like Toyota eat up the market with more fuel-efficient cars. Now GM and Ford have almost doubled their monthly sales by offering employee prices to the public. The biggest gas guzzlers, which were just filling up lots at the auto plants, are now being pawned off for $10,000 less than the former overblown sticker prices in some cases. It's great for stock prices, horrible for the environment, and a big joke on the consumers who buy the last of these great gas guzzlers soon to be parked as lawn ornaments, too expensive to run. Both companies are pleading for their industrial lives, pointing out all the jobs still remaining after the plant closures and the job exodus to Mexico and Asia. If General Motors does go bankrupt, some worry that alone could trigger an end to the borrowing bubble that supports the North American economy. And not just North America. Here is what Wolfgang Bernard, second-in-command at Volkswagen in Europe, told the New York Times July 14th. If we cannot survive here at Volkswagen, then industrial Europe is going to die, end quote. Industrial America has been dying for a while its life oil support system is seriously threatened by wars and competition from newly industrialized states like China. But not all Americans are crazy. Check out the full-page ad in the New York Times for July 14th, 2005. Under three photos of famous men, the big type caption reads, What do these men have in common? Dick Cheney, Saudi Crown Prince Abdullah, William C. Ford Jr., CEO of Ford. They all love gas guzzlers. The ad tells us, Americans make up only 5% of the world's population, yet we consume 25% of global oil production. About 70% of the oil we consume is used for transportation, and much of that is wasted in gas-guzzling cars, trucks, and SUVs. American automakers like the Ford Motor Company are at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to fuel economy. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency ranks Ford dead last in overall fuel economy for the last 5 years. With a fleet-wide average of just 18.8 miles per gallon, even Ford's Model T went further on a gallon of gas 80 years ago. End quote. Funny, the endless car ads on TV didn't tell me that. The Model T got 24 miles per gallon. A Ford Expedition gets about half that. That's progress. Incidentally, try to imagine television without car ads. About every 60 seconds we see the new blunder beast plowing through some virgin wilderness, flaunting its motorized mail power. If GM and Ford go, the last props of mainstream media funding might go with it. That would leave the big drug companies as the last sponsors of the big lie. This full-page counter ad in the Times sent readers to freedomfromoil.com. It was paid for by two groups, Global Exchange at globalexchange.org and Rainforest Action Network at www.ran.org. The RAN site has a nifty short animation with the disgusting car facts and an invitation to sign the Declaration of Independence from Oil. Both groups want you to boycott Ford as the company that brings us climate change and oil wars. As a transition to a saner transpo system, more Europeans are turning to shared cars. You can wait 6 years for a parking permit in some European cities, and gas is over $4 a gallon. So millions of Europeans use the excellent public transit system. But what if you want a trip to the mountains or need to bring home heavy items? You can borrow one of the many shared cars. These are more plentiful in Switzerland, Germany, and the Netherlands. Members pay a low monthly fee and then a higher fee per kilometer when they actually use a car. One example is the Green Wheels company in Amsterdam. The largest company, called Mobility, is found in Switzerland. Mobility has 60,000 members and 2,400 cars. Members do not have to book a car in advance, like a rental car, but can find the nearest available car on the internet and then drive it away. Research shows that one shared car replaces 4 to 10 private vehicles. Members sell their personal cars, which cost tens of thousands to run and maintain in a big European city. It's estimated these semi-carless people result in an estimated 30% reduction in overall vehicle miles traveled for each member. And yet, these busy people can usually find a shared car nearby when they need one. A study done for a group of European cities estimated that at least 500,000 cars could be replaced by a shared car system, meaning less pollution and less oil use. A coalition of states, including California and Maine, and a great group of cities have lost their legal bid to force the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to regulate CO2, the main greenhouse gas, as a pollutant. The EPA replied that the original Clean Air Act of the 1970s did not empower them to regulate CO2. And so, that's it, folks. America doesn't think that climate change has anything to do with pollution coming out of the tailpipes and power plant stacks. At least the states and cities tried to do something despite the oil administration. Some Americans get it. We know almost half of American voters never supported George Bush and his oil wars. Some just left the country. Following a grand history of expatriate Americans enjoying Paris instead, we have a gem of radio journalism called Le Fric Show. An expatriate stock trader in Paris is hosting this off-the-wall, cut-to-the-bone daily news commentary at Le Fric Show, spelled L-E-F-R-I-C. Here's a clip where host Max coins an important new phrase, the suicide consumer.
Yeah, suicide bombers, that's the name of the game here, apparently, in London. Got some suicide bombers. I ask you this, though. What do you call people that suck down a lot of carbon dioxide every single day to help Exxon shareholders get rich? Suicide bombers. There's millions and millions of suicide bombers all over the world. They're called consumers. Suicide consumers. Suicide bombers. Suicide consumers. Suicide consumers in the UK. Suicide consumers in the United States. Consuming themselves to death so that a few people can get rich. Doesn't make sense, but neither does a suicide bomber.
All those commuters listening on their car radios, big motors spewing out the oil that powers the storms, worry about tiny terrorist ants. We are the climate terrorists, my friends. We are the axis of evil. Step away from the car. Le Fric Radio Show is available on satellite and cable in Europe. It's podcast. Find it at Podcast Alley. And the shows can be found at Karma Bank Radio Blogspot. That's Karma, K-A-R-M-A, Bank, the French spelling, B-A-N-Q-U-E, radio.blogspot.com. Confused? You can find all the links mentioned in this podcast at the EcoShock news blog at www.ecoshock.org/podcast.html. All the news is about terrorism these days. As the atmosphere tips over from carbon pumped out of the daily commute, as the air conditioners drain electricity grids, humans are glued to the scorecard of who killed how many. Never mind the disappearing glaciers, birds, and plants. Did they catch that bad guy in Egypt? It's great entertainment, as the ship goes down, so if you want any coverage for the real planet crisis, you have to find the terrorist angle first. The PBS show Now, the one that used to be called Now with Bill Moyers, until the Republicrats nailed Moyers for being, well, un-Republican, ran a half-hour feature this week on the total lack of safety at American refineries and chemical plants. Remember the big announcements by Tom Ridge after 9/11 about how the chemical plants were soft and juicy targets needing to be hardened up? Several new laws and regulations were proposed, but they were all shot down by the oil and chemical lobby, who, after all, own the White House and the Congress. There are 15,000 oil and chemical companies with very dangerous chemicals around cities with populations of 100,000 people or more. An association of 5,000 of them have agreed to look around, find a few terrorist possibilities, and voluntarily report back what they did to improve things. The other 10,000 haven't volunteered to do or say anything. In fact, 4 years after 9/11, nothing has been done. These are big plants in big cities which would simply release lethal chemical clouds over the entire population without warning if hit with simple explosives like the rocket-propelled grenades used every day in Iraq. Any day, a truck bomb could release chemicals leading to countless thousands of horrible deaths where your lungs are burned out. All those billions spent for homeland security haven't made American chemical plants and refineries safer. For your own safety, you must go to the PBS website at www.pbs.org/now to find out how dangerous and stupid these risks are. No doubt you'll find an unprotected chemical plant waiting to explode near you. Since the government isn't doing or telling you anything, check out our Chemical Weapons Civil Defense Primer on the downloads page at ecoshock.org.